Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry, we're just a couple of minutes late getting started. I know there are some people still registering and checking in. First of all, thank you, those of you who were at the event last night. We're very pleased that you're back with us this morning, that you've followed the instructions. Notwithstanding your checking out the hospitality of Ennis, you've managed to be here bright and bushy-tailed, so we thank you for that. It gives me great pleasure to introduce a dear friend of mine, Commissioner for Energy, Kadri Simpson. Kadri is currently the European Commissioner for Energy, has been there since 2019. She's responsible for delivering the energy aspect of the European Green Deal and the European strategy to guarantee energy supply and independence from Russian gas. Prior to that, she served as a Minister for Economic Affairs and Infrastructure from 2016 to 2019 and a Member of Parliament of the Estonian Parliament. And Commissioner, you'll forgive me for not trying to pronounce what you call your parliament, what we call our Dáil, and you were there from 2007. And previous to that, she was the Secretary General of the Estonian Centre Party. It's really an important event, and thank you for taking the time out of your really busy schedule to be with us. The format for today is a number of headings which you'll have seen from your programme, and we're going to try and do it in a casual format, a kind of a chit-chat, because we think that best explores the various different aspects without having it too formed or too staid. So I'm just going to join the Commissioner and we'll work our way through some questions. Thank you. So, Commissioner, yesterday we visited Money Point, one of those big coal-burning plants that was such an important part of the electricity infrastructure of this country for so long. But in a modern environment where we need to move away from coal, we need to move to more renewables, and we need to have a greater security of supply, you had an opportunity to hear at first hand the plans that the ESB have. Maybe could you share with us your thoughts, if you've had a chance to sort of think through what their plans are and how important they are from an Irish and a European perspective.
Good morning, everybody. And indeed, I had a chance to see with my own eyes how the coal power plant that was a response to the 70s energy crisis will be transformed into the hub of renewables. And this is actually something that is happening across Europe. We do have still 14 member states who do rely on coal power on some extent. And all these member states have put in place a plan how they will replace the most polluting sources of the energy with renewables. And by doing so, they have provided the European Commission with tailor-made national energy and climate plans. And just yesterday, I had a short interaction with my services back in Brussels, who informed me that after 2 weeks, we will provide our first assessment on Irish National Energy and Climate Plan. And by doing so, you can expect that we will advise Irish government to even upgrade more their ambition for 2030 on renewable side. And we do believe that if government and parliament together will implement some of the necessary measures that can help to fast-track the development, both development on land, but also fast-track development offshore, then Ireland has a huge potential for renewables. And saying that, at regional level, Ireland is already a very active player. So different countries across North Sea have set a very ambitious plan of 111 gigawatts of offshore wind. And if you keep in mind that it was only last year when only 3 gigawatts of new offshore in Europe came online, then this 111 gigawatts by 2030 is a very ambitious plan. And in that plan, Ireland plays a important role. That means that your region has to also to bring these plans that are still on the slideshows to the real life.
Okay, so that's I think a very welcome development from some of the companies that are with us today, because they like to feel that while sometimes national governments are a little bit slow to act because they're comfortable with where they're at, that the European Commission will be encouraging them to show greater ambition. And you might reflect, Commissioner, on, well, apart from the climate change perspective and the necessity to move away from fossil fuels, which we all know in terms of decarbonising our economy, but I'll just preface my question by sharing with the audience, and some of the people who were at the reception last night will have already heard this, but Commissioner Simpson was in that pivotal role of managing across Europe our energy security at the time when Russia invaded Ukraine. Commissioner comes from a country, Estonia, which borders Russia. But just talk to us a little bit about the challenge. I know because of where you and I have worked on many occasions, but just share with the audience the challenge that you faced to try to wean Europe off Russian gas at a time when the sanctions were coming in, when prices were escalating, and when the greatest concern of most member states was how are we going to keep the lights on and keep homes heated. Now, in Ireland, keeping homes heated is a different challenge to Estonia. I shared with Commissioner yesterday about how cold and miserable it was, and she said, this is warm, it's minus 18 where I come from. So keeping the heat on has a different connotation in some parts of Europe.
That's very true. Back home in Estonia, it's minus 18, but I control my heating back home via my mobile phone. So my heat pump is controllable remotely, and this heat pump provides me a very affordable price. So this is something that has been happening across Europe as a result of Russian manipulation. Because it was only 2021 when 40% of gas consumed here in European Union came from Russia. Mainly because we had this legacy pipeline network that delivered very gas that seemed to be very competitive price-wise. And when Russia started to plan the war against Ukraine, they thought that they will keep our governments busy facing this cost of living crisis. So it happened already before 2022, when Russia cut significantly the gas deliveries, created this issue of balance, that demand was bigger than supply, and by doing so increased significantly the gas price. What was our response? Our response was that we have to act. We have to find alternative suppliers. Mainly these alternative suppliers came from our close neighborhood, Norwegians, but also Northern Africans, who are connected with us by pipeline. And then, of course, LNG. Luckily, across Europe, we had a good network of LNG terminals. But that was not enough, because 155 billion cubic meters of gas was not replaceable. Then we prioritized fuel switch, where it was possible to replace gas with alternatives. And our preference was where it was possible to replace natural gas with renewables, we did so. So 2022 was record year for renewables. It was first time ever when across Europe wind and solar produced more electricity than gas. And last year, 2023, was even better. It was especially good on solar panels, because in many member states, governments gave out incentives to install rooftop solar panels. So households took care of their own energy bills. And when I prepared my visit here, then I also Googled this town here and neighborhood, and I saw that even here in one primary school installed 90 solar panels that allows them to cut significantly electricity costs. So this is something that that happened across Europe and helped us immensely.
And Commissioner, I just to point out to you, you mightn't have heard, but some of those students have just joined us. So there's a number of schools present, so a really warm welcome to our student population of Venice who have joined us today. And that really is a really ambitious program that was undertaken by that school, and it's a fantastic accolade for the town of Venice, and it further, I think, drives home the ambition of younger citizens to decarbonize economic activity. It's a generational thing. Some of us that are around a little bit longer tend to think that things will happen, on a normal trajectory. I think younger voters and younger people have a much better understanding of the implications of climate change and are demanding action and ambition at a much greater pace. And have you seen that in other parts of Europe? Or?
I very much agree, of course. And necessary precondition for us to electrify, to replace fossil fuels with electricity where it is possible, the precondition is also digitalization, because when we will heat our homes with electricity and charge our cars, then it makes sense if we do so at these hours when renewables are covering majority of our demand. So digitalization, all these appliances together, millions of households who will be eager to react to the price signals, could help us to save immensely energy. And this is also one of the reasons why when we redesigned our electricity market design, we understood that there are households who prefer regulated prices or fixed prices. But more and more, the educated consumers do prefer flexible pricing, where they take responsible decisions themselves, and by doing so, they can control their bills. And clearly, younger generation is eager to opt for these flexible solutions. So this is one of the priorities of ours. To provide across Europe smart meters. Well, I'm coming from Estonia, everything is digitalized, but in Belgium, they check my energy meter once a year. This is very surprising that you can still handle a system like this. So we do have different starting positions across Europe and lots of work to do in that regard, but yeah. Young people for sure are our most eager allies on that.
Yeah, which is good. Commissioner, earlier this week, the EU has set very ambitious targets for renewable energy adoption, including a new 2040 target. Could you talk to us a little bit more about that? Because you were centrally involved in that work.
Yes, this Tuesday we presented a 2040 target for European Union, how much we have to cut CO2 emissions by then. So this is in our law, in climate law, that by 2050 Europe will be climate neutral. And based on our national energy climate plans, we know that by the end of this decade, 2030, we will be able to cut greenhouse gas emissions by 55%. So this is a long way between 2030 and 50 to get rid of this last remaining half of the CO2 emissions. And all our impact assessments told us that if we will start planning now, as early as possible, if we will send clear messages to our stakeholders and private investors, then the cost efficiency of this process, it will be the most cost efficient. If we will postpone political decisions and announcement beyond 2030, we have to act in a more costly manner. And that was the reason why we presented a plan that by 2040 we have to cut emissions across the board by 90%. from my point of view, that means that our power generation will be mainly decarbonized. So either it will be covered by renewables, but also in the member states who decide to do so, and this is their sovereign right, they can cover part of their electricity production with nuclear. And after a couple of hours, we will also launch a call for small modular reactors, industrial alliance formation. So this is technology that is not market ready yet, but we do know that some member states are eager to test these new solutions, either to provide district heating or some small scale backup. And that means that by 2040, the proposal from Commission is technology neutral. But this is not only about electricity. This is also about transport and buildings, and we know that by 2040, across Europe, the demand for electricity will double. And if coal-fired power plants are not price-wise competitive anymore, then building a new nuclear power plant takes time, then basically it has to come from renewables, and the potential is offshore. Mm. Offshore power plants will be our new green power plants, and again, this is one of the reasons why I'm here. Yeah. You have great potential.
Yeah, and for the members of the public that are in the audience, they'll be delighted to hear that, because it creates a wonderful opportunity, not just for the county that you're in, or County Clare, but for the wider Midwest region, with the jobs potential, as well as decarbonising our economy. I know there's a lot of sort of industry leaders here and people from across the sector, but there's also, as I said, members of the public who have an interest in this and want to see what the opportunities are for the future. Something which lots of homeowners in Ireland have started to adapt over recent times, you know, the whole solar panel experience, and that's experiencing record installations across Ireland and the EU. Can you talk to us a little bit about that in terms of the driving factors behind that surge which we've seen, and some of the remaining challenges that exist to, you know, going the final mile in getting nearly every home using or adapting?
That was our strong suggestion that we should incentivize rooftop solar, because this is really a solution that is not competing for the land with nobody else. So roofs are close to the consumers, and this is also a good sign that prices are coming down for solar panels. But we also were very aware that if we are replacing Russian gas, one dependency that made us very vulnerable with renewables, we should be ready to diversify also the supply routes from where we will buy our solar panels. So right now, vast majority of solar panels is coming only from one single supplier. Mm. And we have to make sure that all the other clean tech technologies that we need, well, being windmills or heat pumps or geothermal devices, grid components, we need all of them. We need them significantly more than currently European producers do produce. And we need to make sure that companies will invest here in Europe. And this was behind the proposal that we called Net Zero Industry Act, because we see that globally there is a fierce competition. Americans are discussing their Inflation Reduction Act. Chinese are using sometimes dubious dumping or, well, subsidy schemes. So with our Net Zero Industry Act, we will support clean tech industry here in Europe. And by doing so, we will not close our borders, because this is, well, this has never worked. This will just create, bad practices. But we call it de-risking. So de-risking, receiving some of solar panels still from Asia, but complementing that with other producers' facilities.
Great. And just maybe on a final question, just about the storage of energy, whether it be battery storage or whether it be through the electrolysis to hydrogen. And you met with the ESB, and we will be hearing from a short presentation by Sean Hegarty from the ESB next, which will share with you what was shared with the Commissioner yesterday. Just talk to us a little bit about that from a European perspective and from a policy perspective. How important does the Commission, or what importance does the Commission place in energy storage?
Well, since 2018, Commission has been very active on the battery side. So my colleague Maros Šefčovič, who is replacing the former climate commissioner Frans Timmermans, who decided to return to Dutch politics, well, he is so-called mentor for European Battery Alliance, just to keep the battery industry also here in Europe. But since 2018, we do understand that we need all kind of other alternatives too. So just last year, I opened my financing mechanism that is called Trans-European Network for Energy for large-scale hydro pump solutions. So until 2023, these funds were mainly used to finance cross-border electricity cables, but now we are willing to support also storage projects that will have cross-border impact. So hydro pump is popular in regions where they do have hydropower, and lots of projects are already applying for support. And I would add another component. This is demand side flexibility. For that, we need to digitalize our grids, but basically if millions of people, millions of households will react to the price signals again when there is not enough wind or solar available at that moment and only gas-fired power plants will provide otherwise baseload, then it makes sense that at that very moment you don't heat your, I don't know, electric sauna, or you will postpone charging your car. And this is a immense power when millions of people will be active market participants. I think that we will see it very soon that we will have this power at our hands.
Yeah. Very good, Commissioner. We'll move on to the next session. I know you have to do some interview with some of the media. So to thank you for that, just to say to the audience, the Commissioner is remaining with us and will be speaking in another session a little bit later on. So, Commissioner, thank you very much for a sort of a very nice presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay.